Okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 140 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and probably the one week where you didn't expect to be getting an episode of Shutters Inc. because Shelton is obviously in India right now. I'm here, and no, I'm not alone. Joining us in a minute will be fantastic strobist extraordinaire Dave Honnell from Los Angeles. And his lovely wife, Claudia Christian, who is an actress who's appeared on Babylon 5 and a whole bunch of other things. You can look her up on IMDb if you like. And Dave's going to come and talk about just his approach to artificial light and the way he uses it. I've just watched his DVD and it is just a mind-blowing thing. But a couple of things that I wanted to bring up. One is, many of you will know, or most of you listening would know, that over the last, you know, couple of months, I've been eagerly anticipating the release of Sony's Alpha 850. And of course, that is now out on the market. And I had been thinking that it was time for me to upgrade my camera body. And the reason that I had come to that thought process was because of the two workshops that I've been on, the Echuca weekend and then the wedding workshop in Melbourne. What I found was that, you know, I was standing side by side with, you know, a bunch of other photographers, many of whom were using fairly new cameras, you know, cameras that were sort of 12 months old or thereabouts. And what I noticed was that we would take almost identical photographs, you know, using almost identical settings. And I would look at the image on the back of my 7D and look at the images on the backs of these newer cameras. And I was seeing these massive differences and thinking to myself, my camera is really starting to show its age. You know, the white balance is not as good, the dynamic range is not as good, blah, 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 blah. And so that's what got me started thinking that it was time to upgrade. Well, last Saturday, Max and I went down to my local camera house to have a play with an Alpha 850. It was the first time I'd actually had one in my hands. And I deliberately took my camera with me, and I said to the sales girl, you know, as soon as I walked in, I said, look, straight up, I'm not going to be buying one today. I'm just doing my research, but I want to have a play with an Alpha 850. And she said, yep, no worries, that's fine. And I said to her, look, can I put one of my CF cards in to the 850, format it, take some test shots, and then take them home to compare? And she said, yeah, sure, that's fine, you know. So what I did was I grabbed my 135 f2.8 lens and I shot some images on the Alpha 850 and then shot, you know, then moved the lens over to the 7D and took some shots on the 7D. And there was one shot in particular where I got the sales girl just to model for me. And I essentially took an image of her on the Alpha 850, then changed the lens over to the 7D and took the exact same picture. Same white balance settings, same exposure settings, everything. And I then compared the two images on the backs of the two cameras, and it was like chalk and cheese. There was just no comparison between the two images. They were just so different. And so at that point, I was thinking that my decision to upgrade was entirely justified. I was thinking that image processing technology has moved so far that, you know, these are the differences between these images and that it's really time to upgrade. However, in a moment of wisdom, if you will, decided that I would reserve judgment until I got home and was able to compare those images side by side in Lightroom. Now, obviously, the 7D is an APS-C size sensor, so you get a 1.5 times magnification. So there was a slight difference in the composition of the images because I didn't move either myself or the model. But what was really amazing was that when I got home and put those images into Lightroom, with the exception of the crop factor, you absolutely could not tell the images apart. And so what I did was I cropped the image from the alpha down to roughly the same crop as the 7D, so that you've essentially got the same composition in both images. And I've posted them on audiotu.com for you to have a look at. Also on my new site, which is brucewilliamsphotography.com. And yeah, it was just an amazing revelation to find that really what has changed over the last 5 years is not so much the image processor technology, but the LCD screen technology on the backs of the cameras. To look at these two images on the backs of the cameras, you would think that they were, you know, massively different. Yet, once you got them into Lightroom, where they were being viewed on the same platform, as it were, it became apparent that there was very little difference between them. So, as I said on the blog, it was an extremely eye-opening experience, and one that I'm very glad I had prior to going and spending, you know, $3,000 on a new camera body, only to find out that the quality improvements I was anticipating were actually completely non-existent. So, yeah, very interesting exercise. I mean, it doesn't mean that I won't buy the Alpha 850. I probably still will. But at least now I know, or, you know, I guess I've had my expectations brought into check, you know. It would have certainly been a nasty way to find out, you know, by buying the camera and then learning that little piece of information. So, yeah, definitely a great learning experience. Okay, well, I think it's probably about time we got Dave and Claudia on the phone for a bit of a chat. Dave Honnell, welcome to Shutter Zinc.
Thank you, Bruce.
I should also extend a welcome to your lovely wife, Claudia Christian. Welcome, Claudia.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Nice to be here.
Excellent.
And I can affirm that she is lovely. I'm about 18 inches from her face.
He has to say that.
Of course he does.
Of course
but,
he does.
But you are beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Bruce.
So, guys, thank you for joining us. Dave, I sat down and watched your two DVD set last night, Light, which is just fantastic. We have this saying here in Australia. I don't know. Are you familiar with Shelton and his work?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
He's your co-host, correct.
Exactly. So Shelton has this this acronym that he gives people GAS, Gear Acquisition Syndrome.
Very good point.
And yeah, I'm kind of in that boat after watching your DVD last night. I need all these stands, I need all these reflectors, I need all these flash guns, and I need all these snoots and grids. And
well, and you know, it's really, I mean, compared to what I used to use 10 or 15 years ago, that's really minimal. I mean, you can pack this stuff into a really small case.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, you had this thing that was, you know, pretty much just a backpack. And
yeah,
you had an amazing quantity of stuff crammed into that thing.
Well, yeah, and this really came about for me probably about 3 years ago when I was working in the Middle East. And I actually lived in Istanbul for some time.
Oh, wow.
And I really didn't want to have to carry my lighting equipment around the city because it was extremely difficult to get around there, especially with light stands and Speedotron packs and all of that. So I really started using the small flashes around that time. And then that's where I developed my products, of course, too.
Right.
But I mean, I really did have to. I'm 44 now, too, and my bones are a little weaker. So.
Oh, come on, darling.
No, that's true. It's true.
Well, now he has a Sherpa guide. It's called Claudia.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm teaching her photography under the guise that she'll carry my stuff for me.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, this speed light work has really taken off for everybody around the world over the past couple of years. I mean, Joe McNally is at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
And he's a wizard at setting up, you know, 50 flash units at one time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just so lightweight and You don't need external power for it. You know, if you got a place where you can buy AA batteries, you're all set.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, the gear acquisition thing, you know, the DVD just came out.
I like that, gear acquisition syndrome. I'm going to use
that. It's great,
isn't
it?
Does that count with clothing as well? Yeah. We can call it CAS and FAS for food acquisition syndrome for fancy restaurants.
But it's funny how people really pay attention to the gear, because the first questions that I received after people had actually watched the DVD were specific things like, what was the exact model of the think tank bag you used at the end?
Right.
You know, so those are the questions. People really want to get specific and about, you know, one thing I didn't cover extensively in it is my wireless triggering, which is primarily Pocket Wizards and,
yeah,
and setting Nikon speed lights on Slave. But, you know, people really want to know the model numbers of products. And, you know, there's a couple soft boxes that I use a lot that people weren't aware of before.
Right. And,
I think we learned this time that David has to be even more specific for those people who, even if you're not a beginner, you really want it in black and white. You want to know what brand, how you know, what size is this and that. And I think he was under the assumption that this was for more advanced photographers mostly.
Yeah, but I think, you know, now primarily, there are so many more amateur photographers now than there were even 5 years ago.
Yes.
They love, you know, learning new things. I talked to a couple of guys last week that have one speed light on a Canon, and they're, for all intents and purposes, they're amateurs, but they really get an excitement out of taking that flash off of the camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be a little daunting too, you know, how to even get that flash off of the camera and start triggering it. So, but I mean, people are so hungry for knowledge now with the internet that you can find out anything you need to know, most times for free.
Yeah.
And,
power of YouTube.
Exactly. I mean, you know, a lot of amateurs, which is a huge thrill for me, because I do like passing on knowledge, because I always consider myself as still learning. I think when I'm 70, I'll still be learning. There's a billion ways you can shoot a subject, and you know, it depends on the individual and time of day and equipment you're using, and you know, so
moods.
It's always moods. Yeah, there's times I don't want to look at a camera, so you know, it's motivation and inspiration. And you know, that's the beauty of it, is you can inspire people. And many times I have to say I'm inspired by the customers or fellow amateur photographers that come to me with these great pictures.
And great questions too.
Exactly,
or needs, for instance, if somebody needs a certain thing that you haven't developed yet, that's how you come up with new equipment.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we did a segment with a kitty on the DVD, and you know, people are really thrilled about that. It's like, everybody's got a pet, and now they know how to shoot it with one light.
Yeah, right.
You know, or how to photograph your dinner and stuff like that. It's just, you know, bringing it more down to a human level, I think.
We're thinking about all the arts and crafts that are so popular now, like scrapbooking, we were laughing about. It's huge in America.
Exactly.
I don't know how it is in Australia, but it's just huge. And all of these, you know, housewives and students and all these people are taking tons of photos. And how can you make yours just stand out that little bit more? It's really not that difficult, you know?
The thing about watching the video is, you know, because my wife sat down and watched it with me, and she's not really into photography. I mean, she appreciates a nice photo, but she's not a photographer. And both of us were just sitting there, and, you know, after you've done the actual shoot, you have this short segment of Dave sitting there with his big sketch pad and his texter drawing out how he did it. And every description was always suffixed with, yeah, so that's just a simple setup.
I know. I started joking with him because he called it, this one only took 5 minutes, and this took 5 minutes, this took 5 minutes.
Well, and I think I have sort of a dry sense of humor. In one of those segments, I said, you know, I only have 5 minutes. That's my schedule. That probably sounded extremely arrogant.
But having been there on the set the whole time and watching and participating, they really were simple. I mean, if you know what you're doing, that's the thing.
And it's, you know, really, I mean, what you see in there is what we actually shot. They literally did just take 5 minutes to shoot
each thing.
It was pretty much real time. But, you know, and another thing too is if you're talking about light specifically, once you've got a couple of speed lights and you know how to use them and you set them on manual, which is what I always do, your exposures are usually pretty much the same on every shoot. You know, I'm shooting at 1/25th or 2/50th at f/8 or sometimes 5/6. And then I'm dialing my flashes manually, you know, up or down just to fit the kind of look that I want. And of course, we can see everything instantly on the camera now. So it just, you know, photography, it's such a great time to even be starting out in photography.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we're not doing Polaroid backs on cameras or waiting 3 days for your film to be processed. And
I remember Polaroids.
My next invention, I want to take the chemical smell from Polaroids and from Tri-X and put them on an air freshener that you can keep in your camera bag. Miss that smell.
Felt more real.
Yeah, we're starting to die out, those people that were intoxicated.
Proof sheets. How about proof sheets? I remember those from...
Yeah.
You're aging us, Bruce. Unbeknownst to you.
Yeah. Well, I must confess, even though I was given my first camera when I was about 8, which was a Polaroid camera, and then I got when I turned 10, I got given a Kodak Instamatic 126.
Same with me.
And I had that camera right through until I was about 17. Actually, no, a bit later than that, probably about 19, I guess I was, and I got my first SLR, which was the Minolta Maxim 7000.
Mm-hmm.
7000i. And so for the last 20 years, I guess, since I got into SLRs, it's always just been a hobby for me. And in the last 4 years that I've been recording this podcast with Shelton, I feel like my photography's gone ahead in leaps and bounds. And I'm just starting to get serious about it now. So in some respects, I am still like the amateur that you talk about, you know, and on this massive learning curve, which is great. And it was just fantastic watching that DVD and seeing the way you manipulated light and just came up with these amazing looking shots, like the stuff of Yvette at the by your pool.
Oh, yeah. It helps to have a good model. I mean, you know, if you'd laid me there with a bikini on, it wouldn't have been as good, and the light would have looked like crap.
But, you know, it's amazing because it was bright, bright sunshine, and it looks like she's sitting at a pool at night in Las Vegas. I mean, it's completely different.
Yeah, that can be frightening to somebody that has small flash units like this, because I think a lot of people think, well, with a small flash unit, you'll never be able to overpower the sun. But you can, you know, and I wasn't even shooting at full power with those strobes. It was just a matter of taking my exposure of the sunlight, which was, you know, bright, and I wanted to dial that down, of course, to have it a little darker than what my subject's going to be. And it just really took tweaking. The most time that it took on that shot was just to wait for the sun to come around and light up the bed in the background and the pool.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it was a lot of just sitting there, you know, for a half an hour waiting for the sunlight to come around. But then, you know, another thing too is you'll notice in the DVD and really all the stuff I do is the lights are very close to the subject. They're usually 2 or 3 feet away out of frame. You know, even with the PhotoFlex softboxes that I use, those are usually about 2.5 feet away from the subject.
Which is why you've got the power dialed back.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't, I think on the Yvette one, on the main light, you know, you lose a little bit of light shooting through a softbox, but I think I was at about half power on that.
Right.
You know, and you get fast recycle times too with them.
Yeah, of course.
They're a lot more efficient now than they used to be back when we were using Vivitar 285s, and you know, you have a lot more leeway, you know, third stop increments, you know. So it's like Joe McNally is the master at the TTL and the whole speed light system, the Nikon system,
right?
But all the stuff I do is on manual. I'm too afraid to delve into the whole electronic era. Leave that for the pros. And it is pretty easy. You know, it just takes practice. And, you know, like I said, you've been practicing now for 4 years seriously. While, you know, if I'm sitting here alone, I'll take a grid and take a picture of my foot just to see how the light shines on it, or a new gel or something. It's just, it's total practice. You know, and if you're embarrassed, you just dump it, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I think we all do that. A lot of trial and error. And I think that's one of the things I know for myself as somebody who's now wanting to move into this professionally is coming to grips with that idea that when it comes to setting up a shoot like this, there is quite a bit of trial and error involved.
Yeah, of course. You know, you don't, when you look at a final shot, I'm pretty fussy about what pictures I actually show. If you saw all the ones that didn't turn out, it would make me look pretty bad.
But how many canvases painters paint over?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Master paintings, sure. And they find out that they've painted over them and second guess themselves, and mm-hmm. you know. So it's, you know, if I always said if I can get one good picture I'm proud of every year, I'd be happy.
Wow.
And that's kind of the truth. I'm, of course, when you're shooting a lot more, you end up getting a lot more that people like. But it really takes practice. You can't expect to just take, you know, even to look at the DVD and say, okay, I'm going to set the lights here and shoot exactly how he set it. You've got to have sort of an understanding and a practice curve.
Definitely.
You know, and like I said, you can see it on the back of the camera. So it just takes patience. Sometimes I'm not very patient, so I'll give up easily.
As you can see in the blooper reel.
Yeah, you can see it pretty real.
He's not easy to direct, let me tell you that, Bruce.
Right.
I'm the boss, I'm giving up, I quit.
Yeah, wait a minute. I keep having to explain to him that I'm not the one that can jump in front of the camera right now.
Well,
it's his job.
I wouldn't even be on that DVD if it wasn't for Claudia, because she's taken me away from my stage fright.
And, yeah, I beat him into submission of being a star. This is how it's going to be, pal. You're going to be in front of the camera. I'm getting behind the camera.
Without drugs, bro.
Suck it up, princess.
Suck it up, princess. I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. You can do it now. Yes. Yeah, he really improved towards the end of it. He was starting to, you know, really get comfortable. So I can't wait for the second DVD.
It's a lot of fun. It takes practice. And like I said, we learn from people that see it, what they might want to see on the next one. But, you know, even so, another great thing about the DVD is that, you know, when we see that there's a large amount of people that want to learn more about how I triggered the flashes. Well, now we're working on a short YouTube video that we can put up for free just to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. So it's really a dynamic sort of medium for teaching people.
The more people write in and ask those questions, the more we can address them, because you're never going to get it 100% right for 100% of the people all the time.
No.
You know? So that's what David's going to start putting those YouTube clips up, and that should help people, you know, with the more thorough explanation of the equipment and such.
Yeah, and really, I think, you know, my experience of just teaching people one-on-one or in a workshop session, too, is that once they get the basics down, you know, it makes them a lot less afraid. Like, I can't tell you how many times a workshop student will come to me and say, God, I tried that shot like you did of the belly dancer, and my colors came out bad, and everything was, you know, this light was overexposed. And so 99% of the time, what I find out is they've set it on auto white balance. Flash has been set to TTL, and it's really nothing is communicating with itself, and it's not reading, you know, properly how the gel color was supposed to come out. So just really simple things like that on how to operate the camera, you know, is worth $1 million in a case like that. Because it's usually simple things that you start out on that are just, that aren't set right on the camera.
Just out of interest, what balance mode do you work in? Do you work in degrees Kelvin, or do you just set to flash?
I always set it to flash.
Right.
Basically daylight, you know, flash too. And especially like the vet shot or anything I'm shooting outside, you know, flash and daylight are pretty close to the same. And I'm shooting raw too, so you can tweak it a little bit when you do your conversion. But I for most parts I set it to flash, and especially on the studio work too.
Yeah, right.
We're not dealing with any incandescent light or any, you know, ambient at all.
So Claudia, Dave says that he's teaching you photography. What's your background with photography?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, I mean I've been in, you know, obviously in front of Panavision cameras my whole life.
Oh, you have? I didn't know that. What have you done?
$35, darling. As far as photography, you know, nobody in my family was really a photo buff. So, you know, we had our little little Instamatics and things like that. When I was a kid, I had a Polaroid camera, and I thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. But
yeah,
but really, I mean, I just took snapshots like every other person, and it wasn't. I always was very interested in lighting in movies, and I was always watching when I first started out, looking for my key light and learning all the terminology with 35 millimeter was, you know, more done in a way of how to make the actor look good and how to set the mood of the scene. And I always felt the lighting was incredibly, obviously, it makes or breaks the film. So that concept of being aware of it as an actress, of looking for the light and to asking for certain lights to make myself look better, making sure the DP was taking care of me, that kind of thing was, wow, was very, you know, I mean, that's what the big, you know, joke among actors is, you don't have to be nice to anybody except the DP, because that's the person who makes you look good. But that's not true. You should be nice to everybody. But it is important to tell them, you know, if you have certain things in your face, if your nose is a, you know, part of, you know, something you're not comfortable with, they can actually soften it. Hair lights used to be big in the 80s. They used to put lights behind the actors' hair, you know, to soften that. Now that's getting a little passe, that look. But it was and they always gave you a eye light and a key light, which nowadays they just kind of run through that. They don't even give you eye lights anymore. When I started out, you always had that little glint in your eye. If you look at the 80s nighttime soap operas like Falcon Crest and Dallas and all those shows, everybody looked really soft and beautiful. And that was just a matter of the DP doing that traditional lighting. Nowadays, especially with the advent of HD, you know, you can, it's a bit harsher and they don't take as much time, I find. But as far as straight photography goes, I just find David's, you know, small lights incredible, because they take what the palette of what is a very small, you know, palette of just a photo that could be just a regular normal photo. And just like a DP comes in, he manipulates the scene to look like something it's not to the naked eye. So that's what is intriguing to me, is painting with light. And that's really what you're doing with the gel kits and the small lights, is you're actually painting a blank canvas. Because once again, getting back to Yvette, when you looked at her, it was just a girl in a bikini sitting on a very hot, bright day by a pool on a very boring cement piece of, you know, slab of cement.
Yeah, boring. I mean,
it's really bland. And then, I mean, she's gorgeous, but the shot itself wasn't anything interesting. And then you look at it, it has depth and color and texture, everything. So that's what's intriguing to me, is that you can do so much with so little. And so it's a slow process, obviously. I'm not going to pretend that I've learned a whole lot yet.
Well, but I think
I'm starting with my little Nikon D90, and I'm experimenting. I took a couple of pretty cool shots that I was proud of, but I don't know anything about it. You know, he's trying to teach me in cooking terminology, like, you know, it's the f-stop and, you know, is
the f-stop and shutter speed.
Is shutter speed,
like baking a cake.
Baking a cake, the heat and the time. I'm a big, I like to cook, so he's teaching me in, you know, baking terminology.
Yeah, but, you know, once you get past the technical stuff, you know, forget about light even. Like, I gave Claudia a D90, and right out of the gate, she shot this beautiful picture of two coyotes on a hike that we had done one morning in Los Angeles, not far from our house. And, you know, once you get the technical thing down, even with the lighting, it's composition and working with the subject that, you know, somebody like Claudia, who's had 25 years in front of the camera, just knows that instinctually. I won't let anybody else shoot a picture of me now, because she knows how to actually photograph
actually
me.
On the back of all of his products is the headshot that I took of him.
Yes, and I hate having my picture taken.
He's not a fun model to work with. but I do know how to get people to lighten up, so it's I like directing David, because I can calm him down a little bit. Boost his confidence, so it's good.
But it is, you know, she's learned a lot about photography, and she's taking the camera on the set with her now. And
cool.
About what Claudia was saying too, about in the 80s photography, well, if you looked at Dynasty and Falcon Crest and all these, they were all lit the same, pretty flat, and the publicity photos that they shot for those were the same way. Heavy hair and softbox lit through the whole thing, you know, I mean, there wasn't any shadow detail in faces. Now you're starting to see, like, on programs like CSI, you know, they're using a lot of gels and they're using a lot of harsh light and, you know,
gritty, they want it to look like.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's, and still photography, portraiture, it sort of goes in that direction too, you know, with a lot of colors and like I say, if you study a feature film, a really well-lit one, we'll look at Citizen Kane. All spotlight, harsh lights, and mm-hmm. even publicity photos back in the 50s.
The Harrell photos back
exactly.
In the,
yeah, I mean, what you're dealing with is a harsh light with a some kind of a snoot or a grid on it to focus the light.
Well, every woman wants to have the light just blow out every wrinkle in your face, but it's, you know, the Scavullo stuff from the, you know, the old stuff where you all look perfect, but you know, it's interesting to have a more human approach to it and show some of the texture and reality of a face.
Yeah, you know, show some shadow, you mm-hmm. know, more shadows in a picture to have a little more mystery and drama. I mean, as you can see on the DVD is that, you know, even if I'm using a backdrop like the Planet of the Apes shot, yep. I didn't light the softbox. I didn't light the background evenly. You know, I mixed it up. And you can do that with a flash just by taking tinfoil and covering up part of it, or, you know, dialing it way down and barely getting any light coming out of it. Just to give some more suspense to the picture, I guess, where you yep. sort of wonder what's behind that shadow, or you know, having more of a definition to a subject, whether it's in Planet of the Apes or...
Now that it's Halloween, you can take your cue from what we used to do as kids. Remember putting a flashlight under your chin?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Seriously, you could light somebody's face in their costume to make it look more scary.
Throw some orange gels on.
Orange gels and underlight it, you know, light under the chin to create shadow, you know. You could have some fun.
Which is, I think, on the DVD, you went and shot with a female photographer. I've forgotten her name. And she...
Deborah Wall.
Yeah, and she'd done a shot like that with, was it Roseanne
Barr? Yeah,
she
exactly.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, she did that for the for the cover of
a
British
play,
the
Time Out,
Time Out magazine.
That's right. Yeah,
Britain. Yeah, mm-hmm. she was dressed up as the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah,
and and she lit from underneath so that she'd have that ghoulish look, and it works.
Kind of Blair Witch Project look.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really, really low budget. You just carry a flashlight around with you and stick it under your chin.
But Deborah is a great photographer. I mean, she does some of the big ones as you see, and all of those. And I'm teaching her a little bit about speed light work now too, because sometimes she has to go out somewhere where there isn't power to hook up a monolight, or you know, you just don't want to be kind of bogged down in a lot of equipment. So I'm kind of teaching her a little bit now too, and she's just, you know, such a great person to teach and to learn from too. You know, when you see somebody like Deborah who can make anybody comfortable in front of the camera, you know, see major celebrities, and it's just the camera is just sort of, you know, a person in the back of the room. It's not in front of the subject, and she's really a good teacher in dealing with people.
It's interesting that you mention that, because I saw a blog post only a couple of days ago by a female photographer who wrote this piece a couple of years ago, and apparently it's been spread all around the internet and has been consistently changed from photographer to hairdresser or whatever. And she was basically asked, or she said she gets asked a lot through emails and through workshops and so on, what her advice would be to aspiring photographers. And so she wrote this amazing piece, which, like I said, has since been, you know, copied and, you know, they've replaced photographer with hairdresser or whatever. Uh-huh. And one of the things that she put in there was, great people photography is more about people than it is about photography.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a great, you know, insight that is.
Well, once you put somebody at ease and you their true inner beauty comes out in the comfort level. You can always tell. I mean, actors and actresses and models who've shot with people who are difficult, photographers with, you know, who are not nice people.
Yeah.
The pictures reflect that. You know, you can't bully your subject. You have to make them comfortable. And it won't be an intimate, beautiful shot where you know, people say, oh, you can see into their soul through the eyes. If your eyes are shut off and closed and you're hating the photographer, that'll show.
Yeah.
And if you're uncomfortable in your situation, I mean, if you're a really, really good model and you're freezing cold, you can actually bring warmth to your face if you're that talented. But it takes a lot to do also with the person taking the photo. You have to, you really... you know, cuddle your subject, so to speak.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, some professional, if you're being paid for it, sometimes you really do, you know, only have a few minutes with a CEO or you know, an actor or actress to shoot them. And, you know, you should break the ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And learn how to do that, and just people skills. Mm-hmm.
And then once you're done, you can smack them upside there with your 72. Yeah.
Exactly. And you can talk bad about them if they're...
Yeah. They always say this: the mood of the set starts with the director. And when, if you're a photographer and you have a crew with you and some assistants, then obviously the mood of the entire set starts with you. So you have to be able to, you know, to be the director of the whole situation.
And we kind of, you know, with the Bill Mumy shot that we did, you know, that was pretty much real time too. Did about a 10-minute sit down. And of course, we know Bill. Claudia obviously worked with him for years, but just to sit down before, you know, just rushing in, even if you know somebody, and pulling a bunch of camera equipment out and shooting their picture, you know, you're just not going to get what you want. And
right.
Flattering. So, you know, we really spent 10 minutes talking about photography, and then we went up into his studio and shot and joked around and played and that set tone for that shoot. And, you know, I would suggest that for anybody. Sit down and have some tea. And I actually, when I lived in Turkey, I would have to do that regardless. If I went to photograph a CEO in Turkey or a political leader, you have to sit down for 30 minutes and drink tea with them.
It's a cultural
thing.
And
I learned a lot about that. Yeah, I mean, every subject you have to
sit. It's not a bad idea to carry through everywhere.
No, and it really helps.
Awesome. Okay, well, look, tell us, where can people find you on the web, Dave?
Well, my photography is at davidhonnellphoto.com, and that's got my portfolio and recent work on it. And then we have honnellphoto.com, which are my Speedlight products.
Right.
And the DVD and all of that stuff too. So that's really, you can get to any of those from either of those sites.
Fantastic.
And a simple search of Honnell too will get you there.
Yeah, sure. And your YouTube channel?
That would be, let me think, youtube.com/HonnellPhoto,
I
believe.
Just Google David Honnell, H-O-N-L.
Yeah. Probably just stick Honnell into YouTube and find it, yeah.
Yeah, just don't put an E in it. It's H-O-N-L.
Yeah, yeah. I get... can I be risque?
Sure.
No.
I can't?
No, what?
My grandfather's name was Arnold Honnell.
Right.
And everybody misspells and mispronounces our name. And he got some junk mail in the mail one day that said Mr. A-Hole. So, that's my joke about the name.
Make sure it's an L, not an E.
E-hole sound is offensive as A-hole.
No, Arnold Hole.
But yeah, it's pretty easy to get to.
I guess we shouldn't tell my dad's name.
No.
Oh, Lord.
So it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on board, and I definitely recommend that people get over to your site, Dave, and check out some of these lighting products, and definitely buy the DVD and watch what Dave does with these products and the way he manipulates light. It's certainly inspired me. So thank you very much.
You know, everybody can remember too, the only stupid question is the one you don't ask.
Yeah.
So send me an email and put you at ease.
Definitely. Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks for that, guys.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Now, Dave has very generously offered us an extra copy of the DVD to give away as a prize, along with a starter pack. Now, at the moment, I don't have the details of what will be in that starter pack, so you'll just have to watch this space. And at this point, I haven't worked out how we're going to give these prizes away, so... Again, check out the show notes on the website, because I will put the details... in the show notes as to how you could potentially win either Dave Honnell's DVD, it's a double DVD set called Light, or the starter pack. So watch this space. Alright people, that will do it for this week. As you would know, Shelton is off in India conducting his photography tour. Hopefully he and Nathan are feeling better now. Those who follow them on Facebook and 5 Minute Photographer would know that both of them got sick in the 48 hours before they left the country. So hopefully they've both recovered and are having a fun time in India. All right, people, remember, keep the emails coming in, studio@audiotu.com. And until I speak with you next, take care.
This has been another audiotu.com podcast.
For previous episodes, check out
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@audiotu.com.